This morning we have the privilege of hearing some words of Torah from our rabbinic intern, Nolan Leibovitz.
Shabbat Shalom. Today we begin reading Sefer Vayikra, the third book of the five books of Moses, the book of Leviticus. The sages, the Chachamim, call it Sefer Kohanim, the book of the priestly duties, where we talk about sacrifices, the function of the priests, the Mishkan, and ultimately projected into the temple itself. And whenever I read a parsha, whenever I study a parsha, I ultimately start out by asking the question, just as the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rebbe Menachem Mendel Schneerson, used to ask regarding all parshiot, why is this in the Torah? Why do I need this? Why didn't the Torah simply end last week? After all, the ending to the book of Exodus reads as such, Ki anan Adonai al hamishkan yomam ve'esh tiyeh laila bo le'enei kol beit Yisrael b'chol ma'asehem. For the cloud of God would be on the tabernacle by day, and fire would be on it by night, before the eyes of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. Now, for my own two cents as a professional, I would say that's a pretty good line to write fade out the end, right? We had, the narrative begins with creation, our forefathers, we come down to Egypt, we're enslaved, God saves us, we're redeemed, we end up at Sinai, where we all experience revelation as a people, we build the Mishkan, and God sends his essence to dwell with us. What more could there possibly be in the story? But then, Vayikra begins with the very special word Vayikra, and God called out. But it ends with a very special letter, the letter Aleph. And in every Torah, in every Chumash, in every manuscript you ever read, the Aleph will be shrunk. The Aleph in the word Vayikra is a tiny, tiny Aleph compared to the rest of the print. So the question begs, why is the Aleph small? Why is the Aleph so small in size and so pronounced in stature? In Hebrew, we have an understanding that there is gematria. Each letter in the Hebrew alphabet carries with it a numeric value. So Aleph is 1, Bet is 2, Gimel is 3, Dalet is, I'm glad everybody's paying attention, Yud is 10, Kaf is 20, goes on and on. Aleph is 1. Aleph is 1, and I think that is exactly why Vayikra begins the way that it does. That is why we need the Parsha. We experienced covenant already as a people, but now we must find our own place as individuals. Each one of us. Each one of us must find our place. And we all know this inherently to be true. After all, when we recite the most special words of the liturgy every day, when we recite Shema Yisrael, what do? We cover our eyes so that we can have a private individual moment with God. We all know this to be true. We all know there's individual bonds between Jew and Jew all across the world. Last summer, my wife and I and our kids went to Las Vegas. And we packed with us for Shabbos, chalot, and we packed with us wine, and we packed candles. But what did we forget? Matches. And so we ended up going down to the gift shop right before Shabbos, of course. 2 minutes before Shabbos, we're standing in line at the gift shop. Everybody else is buying suntan lotion and whatnot. We're buying matches. We're asking for matches. And right before we get to the front of the line, there's another couple there. And the other couple asks for candles and matches. And we know. We know immediately. And there's a bond. Why is it? Why is it that I have friends who travel to Europe and they call me right away to say, I was in Venice, and I just had to go see the show. These are people who never step foot in the show here in Los Angeles, but they go all the way to Europe, and they have to see a show. It's because there is an innate bond between each and every Jew all across the world. Individuals matter. 10 days ago, I was at APAC, where I had an experience I never saw before. I saw 13,000 people stand in a single room with a single message that we love and support the state of Israel. And I thought to myself while I was standing in that room, had any single individual thought to themselves, why would they need me? There's 12,999 other people in this room. What do I matter? Had too many people thought that in that room, there wouldn't have been 13,000 people. There wouldn't have been anybody. In 1943, when all four of my grandparents were trapped in Europe, suffering from the Shoah, and Franklin Delano Roosevelt had sealed the borders of this country, saying, I don't want Jews to find Savior in the United States. And rabbis who had access to President Roosevelt refused to use it. They refused to jeopardize their own standing in this country to save Jews across the world. There was one rabbi in 1943 by the name of Rabbi Baruch Rabinowitz, who gathered 400 rabbis who marched on the White House. They were met with security at the door. Security told them that they weren't allowed to come in. They didn't have an appointment. They should wait in the park right by the White House, that a representative of the president would come out and see them. So very orderly fashion, the 400 rabbis went to the park next to the White House, where they waited all day and all night with no representative of the president ever coming to meet them. The entire rabbinic establishment said, look, see, that's exactly why we didn't jeopardize our standing. We knew what would happen. And I say no. Had Rabbi Rabinowitz not done that, Jews in this country would not have realized that we need access to power. We need the ability to walk into the White House to say, Jews around the world need your help. Stand up. And now, in 2013, I'm proud to say, we as rabbis, we as Jews, we don't go to the White House. When we travel to Washington, D.C., and we stand 13,000 strong in a convention center, the White House comes to us. This year, Vice President Biden came to us. Last year, President Obama came to us. And almost 50 years before 1943, before Rabbi Rabinowitz, the entire Jewish community encouraged one individual to again not stand up. In 1897, Theodore Herzl wanted to establish the first Zionist Congress, and Jews all across the world said, wait, wait until there's consensus amongst the Jewish people. And I'm afraid personally, had he waited for consensus, we'd still be waiting today. He said, no, I'm sorry. It's gonna happen. It's gonna happen in Basel, Switzerland. And he convened the first Zionist Congress, and as an individual, he declared that there would be a Jewish state. He had no idea where, and he had no idea when, but he declared there would be a Jewish state. And that's why the book of Vayikra is so important. It's so important to be read, and it's so important to be read to bar mitzvahs on their bar mitzvah day. Because our covenant as a people means absolutely nothing if we don't all feel responsible to it as individuals. In 10 days, we're going to read, all of us, from the oldest in this room to the youngest in this room, to the bar mitzvahs here today, to the b'nai mitzvah, b'chol dor v'dor chayav adam lirot et atzmo ke'ilu yatza mimitzrayim. In each generation, each individual is responsible to see himself or herself as if he or she left Egypt. That little Aleph, small in size, giant in stature, is each one of us. Each one of us, in each generation after generation, who hears the words of Vayikra, who sees an opportunity to take a greater role in the Jewish community, who sees the opportunity and stops and thinks and considers. Take it. My friends, I stand here and I tell you today, take it. Seize the opportunity today, tomorrow. Take it when you see it. Your relationship with the Jewish people will be better for it. Your relationship with God will be better for it. You will be better for it. Shabbat Shalom.